And Henry Shulman of the Chronicle joins us. Henry, nice to have you here. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah, you bet. It's a good break from staring at my computer after writing a 1,500-word game story at 1:30 in the morning yesterday.
Today. It's September. I said that. I'll be on at 1 p.m., and then I said today.
Yeah.
I went home last night. Henry, last night, I mean, and I do this great game in Giants history every Sunday. Raph and I and Chris Half come up with one. And this one, for me, goes in the archives. So much happened last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's hard, to be a writer. And I mean, trying to pick a couple of things to write about. I mean, obviously, the decision to have Casilla save the game and face Jake Lamb. I mean, that's a huge part of the story. Corey Guerin going out to play left field as Bochy channels Joe Maddon there. And like we just talked about before we came on the air, I mean, I could have written my whole story on the throw that Brandon Crawford made to get Chris Owings to prevent the go-ahead run from scoring and the pick that Posey made to make the tag. I mean, that's a story in itself. But, you don't even know where to start in a game like that.
Well, I know where to finish, and Corey Guerin finished it. How about that? I mean, though, you got to go back to Noah Lowry going in the outfield, Keith Comstock, who did it, and Roger McDowell and Todd Werrell, the last to play an outfield position and get a save. That's how rare it was. Did you see this coming with Guerin?
I didn't see it coming with Guerin. Bochy has told Javi Lopez that
yes,
he might be asked to do that, and Romo as well. Because Romo and Lopez are sort of a left-right tandem, setup tandem. So Bochy has sort of like forewarned his pitchers that it could happen. I didn't know what he was going to do, and frankly, I didn't expect it because, I mean, he's got a 14-man bullpen. He only used about four or five guys. So, I mean, I thought that maybe when Lopez came in, I thought that maybe, I don't know, even Kane might come in to get the two right-handers if Lopez, or one right-hander if Lopez got the out there. Or even, one of the left-handed power guys that he has, Smith or Okert. So it did take me by surprise, yeah.
What do you say about Casilla? Because obviously your Twitter lit up and all your comments, looking at them at sfgate.com. How did Bochy handle that, the Casilla-Lamb home run?
He handled it better than he would have if they had lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of would dreaded going in the office there if they had lost and knowing that you have to ask that question. I think that what we learned last night is Bochy told us before the game that he was going to close by committee, that Casilla was no longer the everyday closer, but that Casilla would be part of the committee. And I think we learned by his comments after the game and how he used the pitchers yesterday whom he believes the committee is. Because what he said after the game was that he brought Casilla in against this right-handed heavy lineup because his, quote, other guys he had already used. And by that he means Strickland and Romo. So Strickland and Romo, it would seem, are part of this closing committee, as well as Lopez and maybe Will Smith if there's lefties to get out. And very clear that when Derek Law comes off the disabled list, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, that he definitely will be part of the committee as well. So you might be seeing anybody from those guys, Romo, Strickland, Casilla, and Law, closing games from here on out, probably with Casilla no longer a full ninth inning. That is not in the plan.
And even to start the ninth inning, maybe he won't be the guy to start it. He's had to use seven pitchers to get six outs here. So Strickland's always used up. Romo's sort of always used up. And Casilla's the last guy standing. And he falls into the ninth inning. I wonder if that's going to change.
Well, that's the point Bochy was making with Law. What he was saying was with Law there, it gives him more flexibility. So maybe if he decides that Strickland, for instance, if he decides he wants Strickland to pitch the ninth on a particular day, he likes the matchups between Strickland and whatever right-handed hitters will be coming up, or even a left-hander because Strickland is doing better against left-handers. Having Law pitch earlier in the game would allow him to hold off Strickland. Well, yesterday, I mean, he needed Romo and Strickland to pitch when they did against this lineup, which, again, is just mostly right-handed. So he didn't have as much flexibility, and that's what led to Casilla being in the game.
Boy, what a moment last night. I mean, we watched a lot of ball together, and as we said, he can't let him pitch to him. He
no.
just can't.
No.
And the second pitch, I mean, you know, the park here, I mean, just crushed it.
No, I mean, I even took out my contact lenses, cleaned them, put them back in to make sure I saw that he was letting him face Lamb. And I didn't get it. I still don't get it. You know, Bochy has 3 rings. I have no rings. He's been managing for 22 years. I can barely manage my lunch. I don't agree with it. I think that at that point, you got to try something else. And even if, you know, you bring in a lefty and he gets Lamb out, if you have to bring in, at that point, bring in a Garen, bring in a Nathan or whatever, you got to do it because I think at some point, you know, you've got now 33 other guys on this team. And at some point, you know, as loyal as they are to Bochy, at some point they're going to, you know, throw their hands up going, why does he keep doing this? We're fighting and fighting and fighting, and Casilla cannot get this guy out. And I think it also underscores how kind of goofy it was that in that home game against the Diamondbacks, when the Giants were up by 3, Casilla was on the mound, that Chip Hale didn't use Jake Lamb. At that point, I mean, that was just incredible, and I was incredulous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, Casilla gets out of it, and then in the next inning, he has Lamb lead off against Casilla in a 3-run game, and
yeah,
boom, he hits it out.
Yeah,
you know,
nothing going
yeah.
on. Well, all right, Henry Schulman of the Chronicle with us. Henry, what about this race? And I've been talking a lot about it today and the weekend, and I want to stress to everybody, 22 games to go, 4 back of the Dodgers, 1.5 in that wild card thing. In baseball, it's forever. But people are just so nervous about things right now. But this is what a pennant race is all about, and Giants-Dodgers are facing us right in the face.
Yeah, you know, I think that I can't really get excited about Giants and Dodgers until I see the Giants win 3 games in a row in the second half.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they may be able to back their way into a wild card race. They may even be able to, you know, play this kind of mediocre to lousy baseball and then somehow just get hot and take 5 out of 6 from the Dodgers and win the division. It could happen. But, you know, I can't even get excited about the whole concept of the pennant race until I see the Giants actually start to win some games. You know, you got to take care of yourself first, right? Now, that being said, they have 6 more with the Dodgers. And also, very important, 4 games with St. Louis at AT&T Park on the next homestand. The Giants play the Cardinals well. The Cardinals play better on the road this year than they do at home. That will be a critical series. I mean, I'm going under the assumption that the Mets are going to win the top wild card spot because they're the hottest team in the league right now, and they've got a cupcake schedule the rest of the way. So I'm assuming they're going to get the top wild card spot, or they'll have one of the two. And then it's going to come down to the Giants and Cardinals. And, you know, the Giants have, even in the division race and in the wild card race, they have their fate in their hands because of who they get to play.
Yeah.
But they just got to win, and they haven't. They haven't won yet.
Yeah, you got to win games. That's what I've been saying. They got 2 here and then 3 with San Diego, and you could see the little run right now. I mean, they got that feeling because it's set up again like it was set up in Colorado. That didn't work.
And yet the Dodgers are on a very tough trip right now.
They are.
Now, it ends with 4 in Arizona, so you got to assume the Dodgers are going to clean up when they finally get here if they're not wiped out. But they got 6 games, 3 in Miami. They lost the first one to Fernandez yesterday. And then 3 against a Yankees team that is too young to know that they're not supposed to beat the Dodgers.
Right.
And those are extremely dangerous games. So this is, again, one of those times where if the Giants can start winning, they can chip away at that lead. And one kind of funny point that I mentioned in my story this morning, it's kind of funny that the Giants lost 13 games in the standings to the Dodgers.
51.
13 games from the day Kershaw got hurt and went on the disabled list. The day Kershaw comes back, the Giants gain one back.
1951 all over again, the 13.5, August 8th. They lost 13.5 from August 8th to the end.
Yeah, well, you know,
the
51 team, you know, the 69 Mets and the Cubs, you know, there are just so many examples. The Phillies-Mets thing a couple of years ago, there's just so many examples of why you can't just say, oh, you know, so many of my Twitter followers and people who write me emails and commenters, you know, the Giants should just play for next year. They're done. They're in a playoff position. Right. Shut up.
Really?
You know, if the Giants end up getting in the playoffs, you know what can happen. And when they have a parade, no one's going to remember that they played, you know, they went 18-32 in 50 games.
No, it's too much baseball left to be played. Henry with us. The lineup, Span 0-26 or something like that. Pagan 1-30. No Gorkys, Hernandez, no alternatives
No,
here?
No.
You can't do anything?
No, look. There's 23 games left, 22 games left in the season. The Giants, for the most part, their lineup is healthy. They're going to go with the guys that they signed and traded for to be their lineup. Bochy's not a guy who's going to, you know, put the pennant in the hands of Gorkys Hernandez. He's going to have faith that, you know, that his guys are going to come back. And Pagan is actually 2-for-whatever-it-is, and one of them was a go-ahead homer. I mean, he has the game-winning hit last night. If Span catches the ball, Kontos saves that inning with that unearned run, I made this point. I just filed this. You should read it. I filed it on sfgate.com and sfchronicle.com a couple hours ago. Bochy's been managing for 22 years, and he's been managing the same way. He's managed 3 World Series championships here, and he's managing the same way. And a lot of fans say, well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Another definition of insanity is thinking that Bochy, after 22 years of managing, is all of a sudden going to throw the book out. And no, he's not going to have Gorkys Hernandez play center field unless Span is actually too hurt to play. He's not going to play Mac Williamson in left if Pagan is able to play. This is who he's going with. This is the lineup. Now, Span has a knee thing. He has a neck thing. We did ask Bochy today. Someone asked, could you put Nunez temporarily at the top of the lineup? Bochy said, yeah, he could do that. But, you know, last night, Span's last at bat, finally, after like this whole road trip, he finally nutted a ball. Now, Tomas caught it in right, but Bochy remembers things like that, and he's going to stick with his guys. He's not going to move things around too much. He's going to go with what he thinks he can do and then just throw Kelby Tomlinson in at the end to win it.
I love Kelby Tomlinson. I love the way he takes it. It's Duffy. It's the Duffy approach, you know, just slap the ball somewhere.
Well, also very short stroke.
Yes.
Yeah, and he uses the middle of the field in the right.
It's perfect.
The right side of the field, which is what Duffy couldn't do even when he was here this year. The one thing Duffy couldn't do this year that he did so well last year was use center and right field. You know, Kelby lives there, you know, and at some point I'm going to expect pitchers to start just busting him in.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kelby's strong enough to knock it into left field, but, you know, the pitchers are helping him out. They're putting the ball where he can hit it the other way. It's 3 days in a row, 3 games in a row that Kelby had a very clutch hit late in the game. If Pence had scored that extra run instead of being stopped at third, who knows? That 5-3 game might have been 6-3, might have been completely different. And Kelby has two of the winning hits in the 3 wins they have on the trip.
I love it. I love the way he's playing. When he gets up there, like you say, the short stroke, and he uses that side of the field, and he's got a couple of big hits, 3 big hits.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, 2 players going sort of in the opposite direction. One is Posey, one is Pence.
Well, yeah, Pence, I'm going to go back to the same thing here, and that's health. Pence is healthy. He still has ice around that hamstring when you see him before and after the game. But he obviously can play at a Pencean level. And we saw that when he crashed face first into the fence last night by the bullpen to make that catch, that great catch on Haniger. And then he also saved the game with that, you know, running into the gap to save Nathan there to catch that Tomas line drive.
Yeah.
It took him a long time to get his hitting stroke, his stroke back and his timing. He's got it back, obviously. He had 4 hits and a walk yesterday, scored 4 runs. So Pence is back to where he is because he's healthy. And Posey, you know, he's had a wrist hand thing. He's had a bad back this year. You can't convince me that the Posey we're seeing that, you know, hasn't hit a home run since God knows how long, you can't convince me that Posey is not being hampered by his body.
Yeah, no, I agree. Boy, what a night, what a weekend, and what a month of baseball. So who knows where it's going to go, but you're on it, and it's a pleasure to have you on.
All right, thanks, Marty.
Yeah,
great to be here.
Yeah, this is good. All right, that is Henry Schulman. So sfgate.com,
Chronicle. SFChronicle.com, too.
And if something happens tonight, I'm going to get you in here early tomorrow. We're here early tomorrow.
Okay.
So we love having you on. I always said you should have your own show.
I'll be here 5 minutes before game time tomorrow. Good luck.
All right, Henry, thank you.
You got it.
All right, that's Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. More coming up, KMBR 680.